Bugs bugging you? Plants looking puny? Water bills too high? Well, you found the place to get the answers. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with the Dirt Doctor himself. Here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody, to the show. The telephone number to be with me is, same as always, one number from wherever you're calling from in the U.S., in the world, for that matter. It's 1-866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by Dr. O'Hara's products and probiotics and the Chia Omega product that they have now, by BioSI products, by Crazy Water, by Arbico Organics, arbico-organics.com, mail order, EcoSafe Pest Control, Green Industries Garrett Juice Pro, Moore Tree and Lambert's Landscape Services, both companies working together and have been for a long time, and I've been working with them for a long time. Then the Medina Corporation, MedinaAg.com. And also our new sponsor we're delighted to have on board, besides the Victor product we talked about in the first hour, the new dog food, cat food products that we're recommending, Kyolic is with us now. Kyolic is K-Y-O-L-I-C. This is a garlic product, an aged garlic product, and they have several different products for different kinds of uses. The one I have in my hand here is a total heart health product, aged garlic extract. It has B6, B12, folic acid, and a lot of great things in addition to the garlic extract. You don't have the garlic taste in your mouth with this product. It's been around. The research on it is terrific. The data is terrific, and it's something that if you haven't tried yet, I recommend highly. And we like to welcome them aboard. I'd also like to welcome Tropical John to the studio. Where have you been during the holidays?
We have been in town and close, working on the garden. Definitely got to get you out there now because it's actually looking really awesome. We've been turning in a lot of that, getting into that old compost that's been under the some sections that I haven't gotten into till just last week.
Under your mulch?
I can actually work the tractor with broken thumb.
That's good. Yeah, I'd like to come out. This week looks pretty good to catch up on some stuff, so let's try to do that. That'd be fun. One of the things I wanted to get you involved in a little bit is something that started on Bob's show yesterday, on Bob Webster's show. Mm-hmm. Down, if you haven't heard me talk about him before, Bob's a friend of mine, a friend of ours, and he's into organics like we are, and he does a radio show out of San Antonio on KTSA. And we visit every Saturday morning for about 30 minutes, and he and I had started talking the week before about tomatoes and about what are the best production tomatoes available. And Bob kicked it out on the air early in the show to his listeners and asked, you know, what have you had the best luck with? What's your favorite as far as production and taste and everything? And so we talked about a lot of different varieties on his show. And I wanted to do that with my audience. I ask people out there, what have you had the best luck with? You know, different sizes of tomatoes, different kinds of tomatoes, determinate and indeterminate and all that. We can talk about some today in between calls would be good. And, you know, getting your thoughts on what your favorite ones are. And we'll come up with a list of what's, you know, the most bulletproof list. You know, the one that's been high on my list every year, and it's an indeterminate, is super fantastic, and it has started to become a little bit more available around here. It wasn't for a long time.
Yeah, it was gone off the market, I think, for a long time. And the amazing thing about tomatoes is the one thing that every gardener wants, and I kind of relate it to golf. Probably the most frustrating of all the things that we can put in the garden is the tomato, because they are so difficult because of the heat and how they set.
They can be, yeah.
And they're frustrating. I had a fairly decent crop last year, but even out of the, I guess I planted about 25 plants, still what produced the best, it seems the smaller, the better.
Yep.
You know, if you want something that's going to go through the summer months, the little sweet 100s, the cherry tomatoes, those little golden, I don't know that it's golden jubilee, that's the big one. It's the yellow pear, the little golden yellow tomatoes, the Sun Sweet, I think maybe one of them.
Right, that's an American
most
one.
Consistent producer that I have, without a doubt.
Well, and some of them that are different colors, like Yellow Boy and Lemon Boy and things like that, produce really well. But most people, and especially commercial people, want the red and they want the big ones.
You know?
And those are they tend to be the harder ones to grow in some cases, more sensitive to disease problems and insect problems and everything else. They do the best under an organic program, especially when that soil is really made healthy and you don't have that kind of built-in stress of them growing in unhealthy soil. But anyway, we'll ask the callers when they call in if you've got some tomato varieties that you've had good luck with in the past. You know, the celebrity, I don't recommend it that often, but as far as a producing tomato, it's hard to beat. I don't think it has the absolute greatest taste of any tomato, but it sure is a good producer. And the old Porter, you know, which I don't know if you can even find anymore. I guess you can. Not the improved Porter, but the old original one.
And again, I think there was an issue again with the seed on the original Porter, whether it's out there. Improved Porter you're going to see out there. I always went back. I always seemed to put in some Better Boy and Super Fantastic and always had, you know, decent luck. I'm not going to say that we had enough. I mean, out of 25 plants, I didn't have enough to sell at the farmer's market. Now, the little cherry tomatoes, we could pull those off and actually do some good with those. And we've made the decision. If I plant any tomatoes this year, it's going to be all just the little yellow pear, yellow, little small cherry tomatoes, because it took up a lot of space and didn't produce well enough to make it worth my time.
Well, with all the room you have, you also need to plant some of the wild currant tomatoes. Those things, the yellow and the red, and this is for everybody out there. I mean, they're the size of grapes, and they kind of grow in clusters like grapes. They are the easiest tomato to grow without question, and they are delicious to just pick off the plant and eat them like grapes. I mean, they're terrific.
Now, I know we've got a seed source. Crazy Rick grows those wild currants out there, so we may do a little production of those guys.
But anyway, any of you, you know, Viva Italia's Aroma that, you know, is real easy to grow, that's a different kind of tomato. You know, it's a thicker skin. It's more used for cooking than slicing, but that it's an easy one to grow, relatively speaking, you know, and all. So, when you call us, let us know which ones you've had good luck with also. Now, the other thing that Bob and I talked about, I had heard one of his listeners talk about this guy that wrote a book, and I've got it, and I haven't had time to dig it out yet, but it's a guy that grows tomatoes 26 feet tall, and he has to get on a ladder to harvest them. I don't know if you've ever seen that book or not, but Malcolm showed it to me a long time ago. He has this incredible production all year long. I think he's in a part of the country where he has a little bit milder weather than we have here. And so one of Bob's listeners was asking, how does that guy do that? How do you get that kind of long-term production? And it dawned on me all of a sudden what I remember from his book. And I said, you know, this is something we need to be recommending more often than we do. Alfalfa was his secret. Alfalfa meal and also making a tea. And he and I were talking yesterday about the fact that people that buy the commercial Garrett juice or make their own, either one, putting some alfalfa, a cup or two in a 5-gallon bucket and making a tea of alfalfa and adding that to the Garrett juice, that might be the best compost tea ingredient for the Garrett juice mixture that you can come up with. And drenching the soil, the roots, and spraying the foliage of things like, well, anything that is a heavy feeder, you know, loves that. And tomatoes are in that category.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been a fan of alfalfa meals, fertilizers that contain some alfalfa meal. I think it's very important. So, hey, it makes a lot of sense.
We've talked about it from that standpoint, and I specifically have not been, you know, highlighting it and talking about it enough, I don't think. And as you know, there's good alfalfa and better alfalfa out there. The ones that are green are going to have more protein and more NPK and probably be more beneficial for the soil and for the plants. The alfalfa that has been pelletized probably has gone through some heat and some pressure and probably has
not
been hurt a little bit compared to just the loose alfalfa. stuff. So anyway, we'll talk about that more as we go. Anyway, what other tomato have we had luck with? You know, there was one years ago that I grew that was the most delicious one of all, and I don't know how productive it was, but it was the ugly Italian or Italian ugly.
I don't think I've heard of that
one. It's a real ugly tomato. It's got a real funny shape on it, and one of the listeners years ago recommended it to me, and I got some seed and grew it, and sure enough, and then Malcolm knew about it also. Different people have different names for it.
Okay.
But it's basically something like Italian ugly.
I like it.
It is so delicious. It's incredible. Well, I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. If you got some tomato advice or a question, call us at 866-444-3478. We'll get right back to the phones right after this. Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil, the richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer on beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops, and it also loosens the soil, reduces fertilization needs, and helps reduce irrigation needs. For growers, BioSI has recently introduced Stubble Digester, which will significantly reduce crop residue and help prepare your field for next season's growth. Contact BioSI today at 866-393-4786 or go on the web at biositechnology.com. That's biositechnology.com.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro. Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Ask for it in our local garden center, farm and feed, or hardware store. For more information, call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. That's 877-655-2121 or GarrettJuicePro.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard Garrett back with you, and Tropical John is here with us today. If he doesn't hurt himself too badly through the show, he just whacked the TV. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. We've got loaded lines, but when you hear somebody hang up, just jump on here. We're going to go to Shannon first in Gatesville, Texas. Hi, Shannon. Well, get all the buttons on here. Shannon, you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you today?
I'm doing great. What's up?
I've got a question for you, and it's about our city is doing a program where they're mulching the Christmas trees.
Uh-huh.
And they're offering residents the opportunity to go and get it. I was wondering how mulched Christmas trees will work in an organic garden.
Well, it's a good question, and I've been frustrated just watching what happens around my neighborhood where I live. There's a lot of Christmas trees laying out on the curb, and I'd prefer people to take those, you know, to the drop-off center somewhere and not have the plastic bags on them and all that kind of thing. I think that mulching them, grinding them into a mulch is good. The only negative about it is that a lot of Christmas trees are grown with a pretty heavy chemical program of growing the tree. I don't think there's anything on the tree, even if it's flocked, that is real, you know, negative to use as a mulch. And there's probably more positive than negative across the board. So I recommend ground-up Christmas trees to be used as top-dressing mulch, especially around ornamental plants, around landscaping.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. And then I did also want to contribute about the tomatoes.
Okay, great.
The one that I have found that it just outproduces all my other ones is the Juliet.
Yeah, that's definitely one on my list that I've recommended, too. It's in that Porter size, the, you know, smaller tomato, but for homeowners, that's a really good one, Juliet.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, sir.
Appreciate the call, Shannon. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
You got any comments on the Christmas tree mulch?
Yeah, I like it as well. It's pretty, most of it's going to be pretty green, so a mixture in with other things. I am a Christmas tree collector.
Yeah, it so smells good, too.
If I'm driving down the road and I see one, I've been picking them up. We've got a pile that I need to get chipped at the house, so yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. It certainly shouldn't go to the landfill. I hope no cities anywhere are piling up in the landfill anymore, but at least grinding them and turning them into a mulch. Prater in Athens, I assume, Texas?
That's it.
What's going on?
Well, I've got a spot on my property that is on a fairly steep grade, that is south-facing, and I want to plant some fruit-bearing trees, and just want to get some recommendations for, you know, trees for that location.
Well, probably the easiest fruit to grow of all are figs and plums. Methley is a very easy one to grow. Pears are pretty easy to grow, too. The fruiting pears don't need nearly as much pruning, and you might look into that. Also, one that's not in the mainstream as much but is extremely easy to grow, and I love them, is jujube. Some people call it jujube, but it's it has a small fruit about the size of an olive, and when they ripen in the fall, they taste like a dried apple, have extremely high medicinal benefits, and it's a really pretty tree. It tends to, in some cases, sucker, and spread is the only negative that I would warn you about. And it has thorns, which, you know, some of the other fruit trees do as well. But those those are the easiest ones to grow.
All right, yeah. Is there a time of year that you would recommend planting?
This afternoon would be really good.
A little cold out there, but absolutely.
No, anytime in the fall or winter is perfect. And it, like I was talking to a caller in the first hour, the only frustrating thing is that a lot of the nurseries and garden centers don't have the fruit trees in stock yet, and that can be a little bit frustrating. Are you seeing that change much, Drop?
No. No, everyone, you know, everyone watches what they do in the nursery business, and him being out in East Texas has a lot of great sources. Yeah. I replanted our orchard this year, went out to Bob Wells' nursery out in Lindale, and they've gotten enough calls. They were supposed to be bringing in some jujube. They did not have them at the time.
Oh, good.
But I picked up some hardy olives, and I did Methley plums. We did a pretty good assortment of apples, pears, plums. Bought some peaches just because, you know, but
peaches and nectarines, Prater, are the hard to
absolutely
grow in. I'd put apples kind of in the middle, maybe in third place to plums and jujubes and some of the other things. Pomegranate's pretty easy to grow. The only problem we're having with it is that they're not, for some reason, a lot of them, including my big one at home that doesn't have full sun all day long, they're not completely ripening early enough, and we're getting into too cold a weather before they've completely ripened. But try as many different varieties as you can, also, if you have room, and you'll find some that work better than others.
Well, good advice. I thank you very much, Howard.
Appreciate the call.
I bet he'd have pretty good luck finding trees in East Texas because you got, what is it, Texas pecan that's out of Tyler?
Yeah, all kinds
area
of places in Tyler.
There's a lot of places in East Texas that you should be able to pick up bare root stuff now.
Yeah, grow their own stuff that should have plants in stock.
We were all in containers, but everything was basically bare rooted when I planted it. And it is difficult on those little trees to find those root flares. So they all got planted very, very high and have done well. And I picked smaller trees so I wouldn't have a large top with a little root system. And there, everything's doing great.
I recommend the bare-rooted trees over the container ones if you can find them out there and get them planted right away. We'll take a little break here and then do more of your calls, 866-444-3478, Tropical John and the Dirt Doctor, back after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Temperatures not seen in years are likely to set records in coming days across the Midwest, Northeast, and even the South. Forecasters say it's a polar vortex that will affect nearly half the continental U.S. beginning today. It's already bitterly cold across the North, a temperature of 9 below this morning in Bismarck, North Dakota. New York's Kennedy International Airport suspending operations for domestic and international flights because of icy runways after a plane arriving from Toronto slid into snow. The United States Embassy in Beirut urging Americans in Lebanon to avoid hotels, Western-style shopping malls, grocery stores, and social events where U.S. citizens congregate. Those targets likely for terrorist attacks. Apparently, there's been some threats. And at least 20 people have been killed in a wave of bombings today in Iraq. The deadliest attack took place in northern Baghdad. This is SRN News.
Kim is in a rush and a large tree has fallen on her car. She needs to file a claim. Should she A, strap her claim forms to a caffeinated Falcon, or B, file her claim on Geico.com? The correct answer is B. It's easy to quickly file a claim on Geico.com and set up an appointment with an adjuster. The caffeinated Falcon would probably get disoriented and deliver the claim to some burger joint. Geico.com is much more efficient and doesn't have dangerous talons.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
Trinity.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. So call the Trinity Debt Relief Hotline at 1-800-793-9159. That's 1-800-793-9159. Call now or visit MyDebtHasMeDown.com.
With Esser and Sports, I'm Patrick Frost. The University of Texas head football coaching search is over. Louisville head coach Charlie Strong has reportedly accepted a five-year, $25 million contract to become the Longhorns' next coach. The 53-year-old Strong is coming off his second straight double-digit victory season. He took over a program that was coming off three straight non-winning seasons and has gone 37-15. In the Compass Bowl Saturday, Vanderbilt led 24-0 before Houston stormed back to tie the game, but Vandy scored the rest of the points in a 41-24 victory over the Cougars. North Dakota State put the finishing touches on a 15-0 season by claiming its third straight FCS championship, ripping Towson 35-7. Tomorrow night, Florida State faces Auburn in the BCS title game. Florida State center Brian Stork says the Seminoles aren't thinking about their unbeaten season.
I'm not worried about no streak and all that getting caught up. I mean, that stuff's for the fans and the media and all that. We're just worried about our game. I mean, the SEC is SEC. There's conferences everywhere. But you can't get caught up in that stuff. You just got to worry about playing the game.
This is Esser in Sports. The NFL playoffs, Indianapolis stormed back with 38-10 second-half deficit to shock Kansas City 45-44. Colts coach Chuck Pagano.
We just said, hey, look, we've been here before. We've got 30 minutes. Play it one play at a time. That's all we did.
New Orleans down Philadelphia 26-24, winning on a field goal as time expired. Eagles running back LeSean McCoy on their disappointing end.
Just getting here is not enough. The type of goals we had, this is tough.
Today at San Diego at Cincinnati and San Francisco at Green Bay. In the NBA Saturday, Oklahoma City took over the Western Conference lead, defeating Minnesota 115-111, while Portland was losing to Philadelphia 101-99. San Antonio beat the LA Clippers 116-92. Eastern Conference leader Indiana top New Orleans 99-82. It was Miami 110, Orlando 94. Other winners, Brooklyn, Chicago, Phoenix, and Charlotte. In the NHL, Boston pulled within 3 points of the Eastern Conference lead, defeating Winnipeg 4-1. Elsewhere, it was Colorado 4, San Jose 3, Carolina 3-2 over the New York Islanders. Other winners, Florida, Buffalo, the New York Rangers, Ottawa, St. Louis, Detroit, Philadelphia, Minnesota, and LA. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All right, Howard Garrett and Trop back with you, and we're back to the phones. Here's Kathy in Redbud Ranch. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Hi, Trop.
Hey, Kathy, how are you doing, girl?
I'm doing good.
Happy New Year to y'all.
Well, thank you. You too.
You got Gary out there freezing?
Well, he's inside right now. yesterday, I made him go and cut a bunch of wood.
Absolutely.
On the tomatoes, I like the celebrities. And the reason is they're meaty, and so when you're canning them, they don't turn all to water and squash down on you a whole lot. So that's why I choose the celebrities. But your yellow pear tomatoes, they're really good to make a jelly out of. I don't know if you've tried that or not.
Really? How do you do that?
It's basically you can use honey or sugar or some kind of sweetener with it, and you just, use a, kind of a plain jelly, almost like a plum jelly. Just using the tomatoes, and it turns out really good.
Well, cool. We'll have to try that. Haven't done that for sure.
So,
now, all the little tomatoes really are good, and some of the yellow ones, if you, I don't know, I think you visually, you trick your mind a little bit, and people tend to think they're not as sweet, but a lot of them are sweeter than the red ones.
Oh, they are. They really are. The only problem I have is to can a whole jar of those would be hard to peel all of those little things,
Oh, my goodness. No doubt.
Couldn't you not can tomatoes with the peeling left on?
I never have, and I've never seen a recipe that allows them
that
to be on.
Did that? Interesting question.
But I don't know. I've never done that. I've never research that out. But
if anybody has, they'll probably call us before the show ends.
That's true. Right.
So, Kathy, let me ask you. I don't know if Howard, she's from Red Bud Ranch. Are you doing any canning classes out there this year?
I haven't done any this year, but I mean, I have gone to other places to do them for individuals, you know, that they want to, you know, have a group of their friends into their house, and we come up with, you know, what they're going to can, and we do that.
That's awesome. I really think it's a lost art.
Yeah,
that we don't people do don't it, do we near enough. You know, down here we're spoiled. I freeze a lot of stuff, but a lot of the canning. I think my grandparents. Oh my gosh, up in Wisconsin, obviously they had their cellars that they just loaded up with all their fresh.
The fermenting too.
That's definitely something I want to get into doing myself. I buy fermented foods, but haven't done it enough ourselves, and it's not that hard. Well, when you have some classes getting going again, let us know. I'd like to come myself. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Keep us posted.
All right.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Arlington, Texas. Talk to Mary. Hey, Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I have four real quick questions about the adding DE to the dog's food.
Uh-huh.
What rate?
Well, good question. The DE is ideal when you use it, and it makes up about 2% of the volume, the entire volume of whatever the animal's intake is. Mm-hmm. That's ideal.
Okay, and if you're feeding a dry food, then how would you work that out?
Well, I tell you the truth, on the dry, what I do whenever I feed and add it myself, I just sprinkle it on like I'm putting on a real heavy amount of salt and pepper.
Okay, cool. Okay.
You know, you could figure out the volume of, mathematically and everything, and it would probably come up pretty close to that, just sprinkling a light covering over the dog food and stir it in. You can't really feed them too much, but you need to feed at least 2% of the volume of food. And that goes for dogs, cats, other pets, livestock of all kinds, any kind of animal that's eating DE.
Okay. And what's a good place to get that?
Well, it's kind of tricky. We are at the point right now where the only DE that is quote unquote food grade, and there's this controversy about whether you can use the word food grade or feed grade, but there's Nature's Guide product. There's, I guess, Soil Mender still puts one. It's the PermaGuard product they put in there.
Right.
PermaGuard brand name by itself is that way. And then the one that we really like, but it's very difficult to find now, is called DiaSource.
Okay.
And those are the only ones that I know myself are, you know, the amorphous natural DE without anything added.
Rabbit Hill has one.
Rabbit Hill?
They use PermaGuard as well. The DiaSource, if you find it, it's only going to be in 50-pound bags.
Yeah, big bag.
And I don't even know if it's out there anymore.
And that'll last you a long time because I've been working on a 50-pound bag now for probably 3 years.
Well, and I use DE in everything from around the house to into my vegetable garden.
It's great
Nothing
for the soil.
Gets planted without DE in it now.
Great for the soil, yeah.
Get your 50-pound bag. It's cheap.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll try that. And my second question is about houseplants. I need to know what I can do, put in there, put on there. The water just soaks right through and ends up in the dish at the bottom just immediately.
Well, when you there's two things you can do. One is you can redo the potting soil that they're in and mix in a lot of lava sand.
Okay.
Lava sand will hold moisture better than compost. It's amazing how well it works. Short of that, if you can't completely redo the potting soil, you can work some lava sand into the surface, you know, till it in easily with your fingers or with, you know, a kitchen fork or something.
Okay.
And then mulch the top of the surface with lava gravel.
Oh, okay.
You know, like you'd use in a barbecue grill or whatever. And
okay.
It will hold moisture for you beautifully. When you water, if you'll put a little bit of Garrett juice or at least a little bit of apple cider vinegar when you water, and some BioSI or some product that has mycorrhizal fungus, build up the biology more in the soil. That will long-term help better than anything.
Okay, good. Uh-huh. We can do that. And this Saturday radio show you're on, how can we listen to that here in the DFW area?
Very simple. You go to KTSA com.
Okay.
And listen to the live streaming when we're on the air.
Okay.
Good. And they also put podcasts of Bob's show on there, and I think they always put the 30 minutes that we do in their podcast. It's done by the radio station. He doesn't do it himself. Mm-hmm. But if you go through KTSA, you can get it there.
Okay, good. And last question, is the promotion for the Garajuice Pro, there was a buy one, get one free. Is that still going?
No, that's not around anymore. You should have jumped on that because that was a very unusual little quick deal. Yep.
I haven't been able to find it locally, but I guess I can get it online.
Well, you can find it at you're in Arlington. It'd be a little bit of a drive for you, but go over to Gecko Hardware in East Dallas. They have it. And I don't know if other stores are picking it up much yet or not. Do you try?
Still working on the distribution end of it.
Okay. So. Yeah, it's just getting going.
Okay, good deal. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It.
The lava
Bye-bye.
Gravel in your houseplants will also keep your kitty cats out.
That's right, which can be a problem.
It can be a huge problem,
yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because we do all of the above, lava sand, lava gravel, and then whenever Miss Daisy waters our houseplants, usually every other time, we don't do it heavy in the winter, but absolutely we're putting in the new Garajuice Pro.
Yeah, and that's what she was talking about. Garajuice Pro is the latest iteration of Garajuice as far as commercial products go, and it contains beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizae, and is just the next step in this idea. Bob and I were talking about this too. Garajuice is actually a concept. You know,
yeah.
it's a theory. It's an approach, and everybody has a little bit different way of mixing it, and some people will take the commercial version and add something to it, like we were talking earlier. I think that adding alfalfa tea would be a great thing to do. I don't know if we can do that commercially or not, because you know when you put alfalfa meal in water and let it sit around for a while, it stinks in a fairly short period of time. Nothing
really?
Else does it like that. No, yeah, but alfalfa will do it, and it's because some of the chemistry and the biology of alfalfa just makes microbes grow like crazy, and I think that's why it works so well.
Well, if you're doing a little tea and if you got you're making your own compost tea to inoculate, like I try when I'm doing my spraying, I will inoculate each batch or the initial batch with a freshly made compost tea. So I'm going to try making some alfalfa tea.
Yeah, I think I'm going to probably end up making it a basic recommendation of the Garajuice formula. And those of you that hear me talk about Bob from time to time and wonder why he's never on the show with me here, he's on the air while we're on the show. So we don't have a chance to reciprocate and have him here unless he has taken some time off. Maybe we can make that happen someday. David in Corsicana is next up. Hey, David.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Okay. Listen, I've got a couple of questions here. Let's see. How far between crops, you've got your companion plants and your antagonist. How far do the antagonists need to be apart from each other when you're planting in beds and stuff?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Like peas and onions aren't supposed to be planted together. So how far apart could I run my beds without, causing a problem, do you figure?
Well, there are people. In fact, there's a book. Louis Riot wrote a book about this subject a long time ago. You might be able to still buy, and about companion planting and plants that are allelopathic or toxic to each other. I don't pay that much attention to it, to be honest with you, David. I just plant wherever I've got room. The answer to your question is if you did have a plant that you were going to plant that was going to be totally antagonistic, one of them in that category might be jicama, because jicama is a very unusual plant. The jicama is delicious and everything, but the top of it is toxic as it can be. It's used to make a pesticide. Planting things close to it, might not be all that great an idea. The worst one is walnut trees. That's the only one that I've ever seen that will actually physically harm the growth of nightshades, things like tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, and tobacco. If you have a walnut tree anywhere near those and you got walnut roots, you got walnut leaves falling and that sort of thing, you'll see some damage to those plants. But the other ones, I don't know that there's that much risk and that much worry.
Well, I read something about peas and onions aren't supposed to be really grown together, and I'm fixing to do both of them, so I guess we'll figure that out.
You're in charge of this research because I not know specifically about that, so let's find out if there's anything to it.
I know I was told last year that garlic and onions couldn't be planted together, that one would fail, and I had them right next to each other, and everything did fine. So
I've always mixed stuff together and had pretty good luck. So let's try it out, Dave, and see what happens.
Okay. Well, let's see. Does the mycorrhizae, does it grow on the roots itself, or will it grow in water?
It grows on the roots, and it grows inside the roots, both endo and ecto mycorrhizae. It won't grow in water. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett and Tropp will be back right after this.
You already know how great All Natural Crazy Water is to drink. But now there's a Crazy Water bathhouse, which is located in historic mineral wells. And it's the only place you can take a natural mineral bath in Texas. Enjoy day treatments or stay for the weekend in our luxurious guest rooms. Enjoy mineral baths, soaking tubs, treatments, and massages. Relax, unwind, and rejuvenate. Call 940-325-8870 to set an appointment. That's 940-325-8870. And don't forget, you can pick up bottled Crazy Water in HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Crazy Water. So good, it's crazy. At Natural Organic Warehouse, you get more than just affordable products for your farm, landscapes, ranch, or home. You also get practical field-based advice on how to best solve problems. That's because we're growers too. It's our advice that sets us apart from other product providers. Get the products and the advice you need by visiting naturalorganicwarehouse.com or call us at 888-998-9669. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com, 888-998-9669. Better, cleaner, sustainable choices.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best. But Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right. Well, I like to learn something new every day, and I just did. I didn't think that mycorrhizae would grow in a hydroponic situation, but it does. In fact, there's products on the market being sold specifically for it, and some of them are coming from our friend Dr. Mike Amaranthus and one of his kinfolks that's in the business of putting out products. I guess it can grow in the media, the wool or whatever media or gravel that is in the system, but I didn't think it'd grow in solid water. So
there you go.
Learning new stuff all the time here. Shirley in Dallas is next up. Hi, Shirley.
Hello. I heard you guys talking about tomatoes, and I got in late. But years ago, I lived in Bakersfield, and we just loved having these fabulous beefsteak tomatoes for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Just spice them up. No juice came out. Fresh ground pepper, no salt needed. Oh, my gosh, heavenly. Is there any way of growing them here? Year after year, I hear about, oh, this year the tomatoes were bad, or, oh, last year the tomatoes were bad. And I would just like to know if there isn't a way to really grow them here, where could you acquire really good beefsteak tomatoes here?
Well, the beefsteak and the big boy and the big beef and all those can be grown here. There's no question about it. It's just that they tend to have a real short period of production time. When it gets hot, they just shut down, Shirley. That's the big difference between growing the big ones, which everybody wants to grow, especially in commercial production. But they are harder to keep producing all through the year. When it gets hot, they tend to shut down. The smaller ones do not do that. But you can be successful with them if you and get some early in the season and keep them going longer if you just really do some tender, loving care and really baby them along. A lot of foliar feeding. I think the alfalfa meal and alfalfa tea, mycorrhizal fungus, like we were just talking about, and bacteria products in the soil very consistently, and just doing everything, you know, as well as you can. You can be successful with the big tomatoes. They're just harder. They're just harder to grow.
Which variety would you suggest?
Oh, big beef is a good one. It's a large one like that. And the one that just a step down that you can tribe that I've had great luck with is the one called Super Fantastic. And it, instead of having tomatoes the size of grapefruit, it's going to have tomatoes the size of baseball and a little smaller than that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, if we just had the cooler weather and cooler nights, when it hits 90 degrees, those large tomatoes just, they're done.
They get unhappy.
And
they get very unhappy.
That's where the frustration comes in. Again, we talked about that earlier, most frustrating plant you can try to grow in your garden.
I think that in commercial production where you've got, even though you got, you know, a lot of sunlight coming in the greenhouses and everything, you can adjust the intense heat and the temperature and everything and be more consistently productive with those for a longer period of time. Maybe what a homeowner could do might be worth trying is building a structure with floating row cover. Covering it so the row cover still lets the intensity of the light through, but might help cut down on the heat. I don't know. It'd probably be worth a try, and maybe even some shade in the late afternoon or something when it's burning the plants up might be worth trying too. Open line if you want to jump in quickly here at 866-444-3478 with Tropical John Howard Garrett this morning. It's Bill and Coleman next up. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Howard. Hi, Trop.
Good morning.
Merry Happy New Year's to you guys.
Same to you.
Talking about the tomatoes, I've mentioned this to you before a while back, Howard, but my all-time favorite is called Fox Cherry Tomato.
Mm-hmm.
It's an heirloom. Trop, it's bigger than the Sweet 100. It sometimes can get an inch and a half in diameter. The plants are pretty wild. They grow really, really quickly, and they spread out a lot and so forth. But, boy, they do produce the tomatoes. So I save seed every year and so forth. You can still buy it commercially, but it's been a great one for me, and I've tried nearly every kind on the market, you know.
Yeah, I remember you recommending that, and I'm going to try that one this year myself. I would imagine that Baker Seed and people like that have it. But,
yeah.
The best thing long term is to save the seed anyway, because it just gets better and better and better for your specific
site. Yeah, I just pick the big ones every year and thinking that maybe genetically, you know, and so forth, I'll be increasing the size of them over time, as well as the adaptability to my soil and so forth.
But, yeah, sure.
The only thing that I've struck out on this year because of the cold and so forth, you know, I've told you about those sugar snap peas that I like so much, those edible pod peas, and this cold weather just killed the heck out of them, you know. So those things are hard to get going, because in the fall, if you plant them too soon, it's too hot.
Yep.
In the spring, you know, it
gets
too cold to get them going, and then it gets hot again. So
I've had the same frustration this year. I had floating row cover out there, and I've given up. The sugar snaps came up and froze. I still have some romaine and some lettuces that are hanging in there, but... Yeah, 17 degrees tomorrow morning. Loading row cover is not going to help too much.
Well, especially after it's been warm. When you have real hot weather and then it drops like that, like it's done to us, it killed my, it fouled up the lima beans. The red limas had not matured enough, and that early freeze after warm weather killed them. I'm going to have very little production. Bill, let me put you on hold. If you had something else, we're going to have to run here. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, Trop John, taking your calls at 866-444-3478. And the website is dirtdoctor.com. Trop's connection is?
TropicalJohnsGardens.com, or check me out on Facebook, John Thomas.
And we will talk more next hour. If your radio station doesn't carry the show, you can listen to us live streamed on dirtdoctor.com. Look forward to seeing you after this.